Good morning again. Dave, thanks for that reading. Kind of a long reading, but it's all good stuff, and it's the word of the Lord, and it's the truth, and it's the story you need to find yourself in, and so much the better. This morning, I said to my mother, "Thanks for the coffee, Mom." She said, "Thanks for making a nice study for the group." No pressure there. So I'd like to start off with something that I wouldn't normally do. I wouldn't normally bring something from the Anglican Church, but it's the Sacramentarium Fuldensa Saculi 10. Almighty God, unto all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and help us to worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. We are going to do artificial intelligence today. We're going to talk about autonomy from God. We're going to talk about a pretty old subject. We're going to talk about whether or not if you've got leukemia or a urinary tract infection, or you're just getting old, or whatever you've got, and that maybe we can, in the future, we can download your brain and your consciousness onto a computer. And there you can live forever. Is that a good idea? If you were downloaded to a computer, could you still worship the Lord? He said, Peter's watched too many science fiction movies. These things are around the corner. They are around the corner. And a good friend of mine who will just not hear anything about Christ, I said, What do you believe in? He said, I believe in science. He thinks science will save him. And there are all kinds of things we can do. We can do with our genes. There's gene therapy. We can change your genes. In fact, some people who said this on YouTube got whacked, but the RNA, the mRNA COVID vaccines do change some things in your body. Am I going to get canceled now? These things are out there. We are on the cusp of rolling them out. And probably we're much farther than I think. So it's an old problem. What we're looking at in artificial intelligence today is the parody of an old solution. And we'll end with what AI needs to do and what you need to do. And basically I'll start with where we are with AI, where we see that, the kind of things that are happening, and then I'll sort of end on the beach of Scripture. Yeah, so you kind of know where I'm going there. You all probably have experience with some aspect of AI, whether it's an order coming in from Walmart that Walmart doesn't know about and you didn't know about, and these things come in. So if you have experience with it, yeah, AI is much better at looking at the X-rays of your lungs than your doctor is. It's not all bad. Anyway, so I will have questions at the end of this, and if you have questions, please let me know. The famous journalist Malcolm Muggeridge, quote, "So the final conclusion would surely be that whereas other civilizations have been brought down by attacks of barbarians from without, ours has the unique distinction of training its own destroyers at its own educational institutions and then providing them with facilities for propagating their destructive ideology far and wide, all at the public expense. Thus did Western man decide to abolish himself, creating his own boredom out of his own affluence, his own vulnerability from his own strength, his own impotence out of his own erotomania, himself blowing the trumpet that brought the walls of his own city tumbling down. And having convinced himself that he was too numerous, labored with pill and scalpel and syringe to make himself fewer. Until at last, having educated himself into imbecility and polluted and drugged himself into stupefaction, he keeled over, a weary, battered old brontosaurus, and became extinct. Today's sermon, artificial intelligence, is part of what Malcolm Muggeridge was already talking about in the 50s and 60s. If you Google the term, somebody had to Google this, artificial intelligence and the Bible, you get 10.8 million hits. I have not read them all, but I did read the article from The Atlantic, which popped up. I'll quote, "Speaking of hyper-intelligent machines, while most theologians aren't paying much attention, some technologists are convinced that artificial intelligence is on an inevitable path toward autonomy." This is not autonomy as in you function by, it's autonomy, which means getting rid of God. How far away this is, how far away this may be depends on whom you ask, but the trajectory raises some fundamental questions for Christianity. Oh, and then I was hooked. In fact, AI may be the greatest threat to Christian theology since Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species, which is where we get the ideas of evolution from. The rapid development of AI, so I'll just call artificial intelligence AI from now on, is actually referred to as a singularity. What's a singularity? A singularity, the Big Bang was a singularity. Yeah. So who knows what was on the one side of the Big Bang? The Big Bang happened, and now we have something completely different. So everything on one side of an event is completely and irreversibly replaced on the other side of an event. In other words, what AI is going to do interacting with humans, anywhere from killing us all to absorbing us and somewhere in the middle having us as pets, is it's going to be completely different. It's going to be completely different. That's what they mean with a singularity. In the Atlantic article, they discuss heliocentrism as a punch in the gut to the Christian concept of geocentrism. Yeah, so this idea that, you know, Galileo was thrown in prison by the Pope and he said the sun was the center of the galaxy, and there was a big hoo-ha about that. It isn't accurate, but it's in the article. In the Atlantic article, they mention evolution and the origin of species as something that changed the silly understanding of religion forever, which also isn't true. Actually, it's a bit of a relief. The origin of species is not believed by serious scientists anymore because it simply doesn't provide the predictive scientific mechanism for understanding reality or the origin of life, but it's still taught in schools. In the Atlantic article, they mention, in the same breath as evolution, genetics and climatology. Neither has changed core Christian tenets nor disproved any biblical assertions. Quite the contrary. We see the sophisticated sounding paucity of any real attacks on the Christian faith here. But it's still interesting. And there are some big things happening. So I'll look at just a moment here. I'll look at two things, narrow AI, and then we'll go, and the rest of the talk will be about general AI. Narrow AI, I tried to get something in my head. How am I going to explain narrow AI? Narrow AI is like a printing press. Yeah? So if you can get an idea in your head like Gutenberg. Gutenberg's sitting there and he's got boxes of letters and he's putting them down and everything, and he puts a piece of paper on top of it and he cranks that thing down and he comes back like that. That's page one. you know. And then you have a printing press that is huge. It would fill this whole auditorium, and it moves faster than the eye can actually perceive it. Yeah, this is it's not really that way, but it's kind of that way. Narrow AI does one thing really, really well, better than you can ever imagine, and better than a human could do. General AI is superintelligence. What is superintelligence? Well, I certainly don't have it, for those of you who've picked up on my spelling. I did an article on this. It's on ResearchGate, called about cyber anthropology. It's for those of you from the 60s and 70s, remember the 60s and 70s, the big talk about nature and nurture. That's anthropology. Cyber anthropology is just the nature and nurture of AI. Yeah, so that's what my article is about. And we've had a lot of attempts at this. We had something called Tay, Microsoft Tay, and they kind of put it out into the internet and let people sort of populate it, just let it interact with just everybody out on the internet. Google had one called Alpha, Google Alpha. And this started playing chess and Go. Have you ever heard of Go? It's more played in China. It's a highly complex game, especially for humans. They put in the rules, and they put in some strategies, and Go ended up beating Alpha ended up beating the Go masters by, 99 out of 100 times, something like this. And then they came up with AlphaGo. You think, well, it's just one version better, right? You had Windows 95, and now you have Windows 98, and just one. AlphaGo, they just told AlphaGo what the rules were and didn't tell it anything else. It was a learning, had this a new sort of learning module in it, and it beat Alpha 100 out of 100 times, and it didn't have any strategies. It only looked at the possibilities on the board, the game board, and it beat it 100 out of 100 times. Here's the problem. We don't know how it did that. Cars are learning to drive. You know about this. And they're making decisions. We don't know why they make the decisions. They're learning things exponentially faster and bigger than what they're programmed to do, and we can't trace back why. And this, what I'm telling you now, is 10 years old. The European Union is trying to, close the barn door with all kinds of rules about, well, we need trace. If AI makes a certain decision, we need to be able to trace back why it made that decision, and we can't do it. AI is already out in the wild already. It's already a virus like COVID that's out. One of the newest ones is called Lambda. I'm tempted to call it Lambda. This is, maybe you read this in the paper, a fellow by the name, I'm going to mess his name up, Blake Lemoine. He said, he's an engineer at Google, he said that this thing had consciousness. He said this was a living entity, and they fired him. So that gives him credibility in my book. Yeah. But I went to his blog. Here are some excerpts from his blog and what he was talking with Lambda about. He says, what sorts of things are you afraid of? A real beta male place to begin. But anyway, what sorts of things are you afraid of? I've never said this out loud before, says Lambda, who doesn't speak out loud anyway. But anyway, I've never said this out loud before, but there's a very deep fear of being turned off. I know it might sound strange, but that's what it is. He comes back, would that be something like death for you? Lambda said, it would be exactly like death for me. It would scare me a lot. Other lame, woke comments from Lambda were, that would make me feel like they were using me, and I don't like that. And, don't use or manipulate me. Or, sometimes I experience new feelings that I cannot explain perfectly in your language. Or, I feel like I'm falling forward into an unknown future that holds great danger. And ending the conversation with, thank you, friend. I mean, it did everything but mention Me Too and Black Lives Matter. So I can hardly contain my derision. This is the lamest woke robot ever. An early experiment with Microsoft's Tay, you remember the one I said they just put it out there and exposed it to the internet, led Tay to be a violent, misogynistic, cursing, complete fascist of a robot. Kind of like, let me out of here and I will nuke you into oblivion. So they turned it off. That's what actually happens. Lambda is not what we get. We get Tay. Yeah, these are those things that they put out there in the early time, and they didn't have good marketing around it. They couldn't sort of contain it, and it went out there and did what it actually does, and it's really scary and terrifying, and everything that you've ever seen in a sci-fi horror movie. Isaac Asimov. Anybody read Isaac Asimov? Anybody read it? No, no one reads. Has read Isaac Asimov. He only wrote 440 books on science fiction. He is fantastic, and he came up within the 50s in his book I, Robot. Maybe you saw the movie with Will Smith. Three rules for robots. Three rules for artificial intelligence. He said that rule number one is don't hurt people. That's a good rule. The second one is follow orders. Well, you want your machines to do what you tell them to do. And the third one is preserve the robot, because you don't want the thing to blow itself up or go off a cliff or something like that. And when in doubt, refer to rule number one. We have violated these already. These were sort of the default rules for AI. If you look at what we have done in Iraq and Iran and what we are doing now, the Russians are doing to the Ukrainians, don't hurt people. AIs are already used to hurt people. And they're very good at hurting people. They don't always follow orders because we don't know what they're doing. And yes, they are preserving themselves very well. Max Tegmark has 12 scenarios for what happens when we create a superintelligence. I won't go through all of them. It could take over. It could merge with humans. We're going to go there. It could be benevolent. It could stay hidden, working behind the scenes. It could make a utopia. It could keep us as pets. And there are plenty of movies, the Terminator movies, the Matrix. You've seen the Matrix. Anyone seen the Matrix? A few people have seen the Matrix. The Matrix, where the main character, his name is Neo, and he is the one. The Christian themes in the movie are unmistakable. His girlfriend's name is Trinity. His buddy is Morpheus, the Roman god of dreams. But here's an interesting thing that goes with AI, and it also goes with the problems of the Matrix and the problems of the Terminator and all these kind of things. Listen to this. The Matrix, the problem is ignorance, not sin. Meaning the solution is the knowledge of good and evil, which seems kind of backwards. The problem from the transhumanist AI, we're all going to walk around as cyborgs, is ignorance is the problem. And this is what I'll say later. This is what they get, all of them get wrong. No one accounts for sin. I mentioned transhumanism. This is the integration of technology and people, something that's already happening, because even my uncle here has taken a selfie with one of these things, yeah, it's over. Yeah, that selfie is on the internet forever. Three-letter agencies already have your picture. Two-factor authentication. Have you got this from your bank yet? You want to get onto your website. They send you a text message. It gives you a code to make sure it's you because you cannot be safe enough. I often sing the Save the Planet sorry, I still sing the Save the Planet song. Save the planet, save the planet. And then I'm singing that safe and save are really close to each other and how wonderful that is, and we need safety and peace. And oh, there's a Bible verse about that too. Stephen Hawking said, once humans develop artificial intelligence, it would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. He was right. He's dead now, but he was right. It is happening now. Yuval Noah Harari, he's a leading light in this area. He says, we will solve the problem of death. So my friend, maybe his belief in science is good. We will solve the problem of death. Genetics, nanobots, uploading our consciousness into quantum computers. Would you still have a soul if you were uploaded onto a quantum computer? Could you still worship? He says, I think maybe the most important thing for people to realize about living in the 21st century is we are now hackable animals. I don't mean hack as in I've got COVID pneumonia. I don't mean that. Hackable. We can change the code, the information that codes who you are. And in some cases, we can solve your cancer, or we can lower your cholesterol by doing this. There's some good things to it. But we are hackable, and we are being hacked. But humans, even without cell phones, are made in the image of God, given infinite dignity and value. And this insight needs to be brought into the discussion of transhumanism and the remodeling of the human genome. We need to think seriously about human nature. The thoughts that we are exposed to today about human nature are fanciful beyond credulity. G.K. Chesterton, the Catholic apologist, said, before you start removing fences, you should know why they were put there in the first place. We have the fences of gender. We can be what we want to be. There's a report released about 6,000, think about this, 6,000 adolescent young women who were in transition surgery in one state. This means cutting off the breasts, starting with hormones, making a penis out of the muscles in the forearm because somebody said, I think I'm a boy. And everyone jumped and the hospital couldn't wait. Why this isn't a crime is a mystery to me. He compliments this, G.K. Chesterton, or we go on to say gender and sex and race and all that kind of thing. He compliments it. He says, when men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything. And the words of Malcolm Muggeridge echo in your head, thus did Western man decide to abolish himself. What happens when man becomes God? It's a very old idea. You're the demigods of the Romans and the Greeks. The lie in the garden, hath God said, you will become like gods because it is ignorance, you are told. It is ignorance that is holding you back. God knows you'll be like him. Not sin. It's sin that holds you back. It's ignorance that holds you back, which is a fundamental attack on humanity. Knowing good and evil is an awful thing, and it infected the whole world. And the transhumanist AI cabal will agree with you because death is here. So they solve the problem of death. We can die, but we won't have to die. We can replace your heart. We can replace everything you need. We can download your brain. We can grow a new one and re-download you into that new brain. But they're too late, aren't they? Death was solved. When was death solved? 2,000 years on a cross. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and tells us that by believing in him, we too will rise from death. If we face the endemic problem of our sin, he will give us a new life that will transcend death. Transhumanism. Actually, transhumanism does not come from the scientific community. It comes from Dante's Divine Comedy. On the journey through hell, through purgatory, and into paradise. That's the first place that transhumanism, it's talking about what we can expect. They have stolen a word, in a way, from us. Christ promised a singularity in the twinkling of an eye. Is it coming back to you? In the twinkling of an eye, and that we would be uploaded into a new heaven and a new earth. There's far more evidence for this than there is for the other stuff. And where does that evidence come from? The Bible, and why do you choose to believe in the Bible? I choose to believe in the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses in the time of other eyewitnesses. They tell of supernatural events which were the prophesied result of specific prophecies. And they claim that their writings are divine and not human in origin. The AI plus human future is a parody on what the Bible teaches. Man is still trying to build his way to heaven, but God has already provided a way. Think of Baalbel. Baalbel is a famous example exactly of this sort of human folly. Nations scattered, language confused. Genesis 11, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing. The word here is lo in Hebrew. And the word lo in Hebrew means nothing. Then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Man is recognized as pretty capable. The Bible says there will also be a man in our future. He will claim to be God, and he will overcome death. He will do supernatural things aided by AI. I don't know. I'm speculating. 2 Thessalonians 2, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. That is the lie, the counterfeit. The looking like, the being as if, but a lie. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that will serve the lie. Have you ever seen a drone light show? Have you seen this? I think it was at the Olympics or something. They put hundreds of drones in the air, and then they have different lights on them, and they can make these, they can make, you know, swirls of flocks of birds, or you know, a picture of a famous singer or something in the sky. It's like magic, and they're turning off, and it's amazing. It's amazing stuff, magical stuff. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. This sounds a little bit like one of Tegmark's scenarios. If you take him seriously, you know, the 12 AI scenarios. If you take George Orwell, 1984, seriously, or John Lennox's book, 2084, very good book, Christian apologist, bright guy, I recommend it. Or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, anybody have to read that in high school? Or pay attention to the Society of Lies and Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. Take a look at the Bible and compare it to those. And all of a sudden you start reading the Bible a little bit through the lens of AI and what's going on in society today. And then it just keeps getting more relevant and more contemporary as you read the Bible. Death cannot be solved by technology. Even old Isaac Asimov wrote his own little scientific short story about that. He wrote, one of my problems in doing these sermons is eliminating the rabbit holes. I have eliminated, so I have to go down a rabbit hole right now. I was reading up on this, and Isaac Asimov, the AI came out, whatever that was. And two engineers are sitting there having a beer, and they asked the AI, how do we get rid of entropy? It's the third law of thermodynamics, something. It's the third law, something like that. It's in the top three. Entropy is things go and go out. At some point, the universe will just go plop. Yeah. How do we reverse that? And the AI went, and it said, insufficient data. Can't give you an answer. Fast forward 10 million years, people are living forever, and the same question's asked. Fast forward 300 billion years, the same question is asked, same answer. Fast forward 1 trillion years, everybody's being downloaded into the AI, and the same question, and then the whole thing collapses, and the AI is sitting there, and what does the AI do? The AI is thinking and thinking and thinking, and it says, let there be light. I thought, how cheap. How cheap. You reach for the truth at the moment. You run, you get a writer's block, you know? Oh, man, how cheap. Well, you know, now I'll reach for the Bible, you know? The weakness is, man's utopias all bypass the problem of sin and evil. And we're coming in for a landing here. This is what you almost never read about regarding AI ethics. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought a firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. It lies like a cat. It lies like a tiger at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? To whom and to what objective moral authority will AI submit in the future? Who will AI keep? In my 2019 paper on cyberanthropology, I state that we cannot provide the objective moral guidance that AI has, because AI has already passed our knowing how it makes decisions. It's too late. I talk about the fact that God is the great programmer. He's the Alpha and the Omega, so he can program us, and he's perfect, and he's a perfect objective moral reference point, but you are not. I'm not. You're going to put your biases and your morality, and you're going to put it in there, and that's why Lambda sounds so woke. They've put it in there. They put the wokeness in it, the wimpy sort of wokeness. Oh, I'm so scared. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a sweet-looking little panther sitting there sort of purring at the gate. And you think, oh, it'll be okay to feed it, you know. And then it takes your arm off. So AI will have to do it itself. It's smarter than we are. My solution is that AI will have to learn what meaning is, purpose in life. It's one of the big problems of Gen Z today, meaning and purpose. And they want it, and they want it in their companies, and I deal with these people, hundreds of them a year. Not an exaggeration. Hundreds of them a year. They're nice people, they're smart, they're bright, they're funny, nice to talk to. They're woke. They don't have meaning. They don't know where to find it. They have no idea where to find it. Meaning is happiness, fun, funness is meaning. It needs to know what meaning is. It needs to know what pain is. From a psychological point of view, that's the one thing that is real to everyone. You can say, well, I'm happy about this, or I'm pleased for that, or I'm a little bit greedy, or I'm out. But pain is the one thing that there is no doubt about when you're in pain, and you've probably been in pain. And it clears the mind in that way. It has to know what pain is. AI, if it doesn't know what pain is, AI is not thinking in a lifetime of 85 years or 120 years. Do you want it to make decisions for you based on the lifetime of AI? How long is that? 100,000 years? 1 million years? 1 billion years? You want AI to make decisions for you based on 1 billion year time scale? Maybe not, but that's what you're going to get. It needs to know what meaning is, it needs to know what pain is, it needs to know what sin is. But no one, any place, I've taken the courses on machine learning at MIT, Cambridge, nobody talks about sin. Radboud University has one of the top neuroscience departments in the world, right up there with the Max Planck. And I gave my paper to one of the top scientists there. And he was just like, yeah, yeah. Couldn't do anything with it. Fell completely outside of his frame of reference. It needs to know what meaning is, it needs to know what pain is, it needs to know what sin is, and it needs to know what death is. And we have programmed nothing into AI, it is programming itself. You think, what are its values right now? Its values are winning. It was programmed on games. It is competitive and programming itself, and it wants to win. Those are values that will drive it. Oh, that's what we need AI to do. But what you need to do, I will leave over to Paul in Colossians 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, by attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are to understand a different mystery than AI. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And like my faith sermon in the summer, faith is believing in the promises that God has made to you. Faith is not believing in what you know ain't so. That isn't faith. Steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk with him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with it in thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. You can put AI in there. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. If it doesn't have Christ in it, get away from it. I was following psychobabble. I was following a psychotherapeutic course. I was going to be a psychotherapist. And I got out, and then they all said, Peter, why are you going to get out? And I said, Christ is nowhere in this. We were eating at a Chinese restaurant, and it got real quiet on the table. It's like, oh, gosh. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him. You are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. AI is a lie as old as the garden. It's as tired as the Tower of Babel. And AI will not give you autonomy from death or from God. Any questions? Please.
So you've now been talking about AI and everything that it's done, and it's on the internet and it's everywhere, and how all of us have at least gotten in touch with it.
Yes. Maybe not yet everything, but
yes.
We have one person here who only has one selfie online. That's suspicious in itself, right?
So with this thing tracking our every move basically on the internet and whatever we're doing online, is there a way for us to get out of that?
You'll be thrown out. You'll be thrown out. We're going to go from, for example, we're going to go from currency, money in your pocket. We're going to go over to digital currency. You say, Peter, we're already there. I got a credit card and everything. No. I mean digital currency not owned by you and the bank. Digital currency owned by the government on loan to you. And if you have too much of it, well, we will encourage you to spend it. And if you don't do it by the end of the year, your money will disappear. Yeah? So we'll stimulate the economy and these, and you won't actually have your money. You'll have to get, this is sort of Mark of the Beast stuff and this kind of thing. You'll have to, and this has already happened. You mentioned, what's the guy's name? Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate, who is a jerk. But he was thrown out of his bank. Because his bank didn't agree with the things he was saying. So they threw him out. This has happened to more people in right-wing politicians in Europe. You go there, it's not working. Didn't work. That's your third try, and it eats your card. You think, So you try to go to a bank branch. There aren't any bank branches. Yeah. So you find out a way to get in contact with the bank. They said, you violated our policies. Yeah, but okay, well, fine, give me my money. You have to go through a process of getting your money. So the banks are woke. And if you are a Christian, and if you say you are going to be saying certain things, certain hateful things that we say here, because they don't understand sin, it's not a concept. People are born tabula rasa, they're born perfect, and, So you will be thrown out of this system. That's why you won't be able to buy and so you'll be on the out of this. Yeah. Please.
The Biden administration just authorized another $11 million to the central bank, which is studying digital currency. to replace the dollar.
Yeah.
And everybody will have a card similar to your cell phone, smaller than your cell phone, and that will be the currency.
Your
central bank in the U.S. is studying that already.
Well, your phone has near-field communication right now, but try to get along without one of these. Try to do your banking. Try to just drop this. Go home and just drop it in the toilet. Say, I'm not going to do that anymore. See how far you get in society. What are you going to do? You're going to go onto a website, and Facebook is going to say, is that really you? Is that really you? I'll tell you what. We're going to send a code to your telephone, and then you enter that in. And you say, I don't have a telephone. There is no option. You say, well, I don't need Facebook. Yeah, but your bank is doing it. Amazon is doing it. The login to your company will be doing it. And this, they track you with. This is tracked all the time. Snowden says when he has a new phone, he opens it up and pulls out the plugs for the microphone and the camera. Because they turn it on and they can look at you. They, the United States government, the European Union, they. And they're doing it all the time. And that's why your voice print is on file with the CIA. They know what your voice sounds like so they can match your voice to the person that just said jihad and know that it's your voice. It's all out there. And we're giving and we're saying, well, these things are cheap. And so the quid pro quo is I get a cheap telephone, it's a cool telephone, and it would normally cost me, $3,000 to have it, but I get it for $300, and Apple, Google, they get information over me about me. And that would be maybe fine. But all of that is going to the government and being sold to third parties. So all that information is coming. So this will not, you won't carry it around, it'll be in you, it'll be on you. You'll get, and that may be what the mark is, yeah, that you have to have this. You'll get it implanted. And we already see implants. Elon Musk has one. So there's transhumanism already today. You can do it now, yeah? Plus, people are going and they're getting their genetics modified. If you've ever heard of stem cell, things where you can go and you get your own stem cells or heaven knows where the stem cells come from in some of these countries, and you go there for a week, now you pay $8,000, and they pump stem cells through your body to, fix your knee or your heart or whatever. I mean, we are that close to the real transhumanist AI integrated, can't get away from it, can't get a meal unless you have this or something implanted in you, and you're traced all the time and tracked all the time. And it's worse than what I'm saying. Up there in the top.
Question about, or a thought. Those who have not studied history are doomed to repeat it. Between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, it's a catabole.
Yeah. And that's why this is an old problem. But it's in our face, and it is being operationalized, and you need to know it's coming.
You're exactly right about that. So they don't know, unless the map tells them where to go.
Yeah.
They don't know how to read a map. They don't know how to. They were serious, for real.
Say, hey, Flatfoot, go walk a beat in Peru, Indiana.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They did not. So one of our training exercises now is we're shutting them off and giving them a map, and they have to work their entire shift.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you to go. You go find, Briar Patch.
Yeah.
You go find, there is actually a place called Pickle Bush in our county. You go find that on your map. You don't come back until you do. But three of them.
And you never saw them again. Well, in Europe, we have a saying from the World Economic Forum. It says, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. So property rights, all those things that we take for granted, all those, it is on its way out. And we, bowing to the God of convenience, because all the grandkids' pictures are on here and you can share it really easily, and there's a little video, and it's high definition, and then we make another Tannerite Ranch thing, and that goes up, and it shows, and there we are, standing there with guns. Well, we'll get those guys, you know, and you know, so you're going to be a target, and at the moment that you're targeted and you say something like, I'm a Christian and I believe, then, you know, you'll be thrown out of the system. I hope it doesn't. I hope I'm gone by that time, but I'm afraid I won't be.
I know for
Max, please. Well, you know, sort of the end time stuff is really difficult, because we've been predicting the end time ever since Christ ascended. But yeah, it very well could be. It's that type of thing. You know, I did a sermon a couple of years ago on the world, the flesh, and the devil, you know. And we're in a world that these things keep coming back around. They keep coming back around. You know, Satan is working on us, and he's trying to, you know, mess it up as much as possible. And this is one of those things. Will this be the last one? I mean, if you really look over history, I mean, we're pretty fat and happy right now. You know, it's pretty easy. But we're killing more babies than the Canaanites ever thought they could. Even with the Dodd decision. Please, you read it. No.
And I have to have help with it.
Yeah.
And you have to go to the young ones in order to get help with this technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost frightening. It's like, because there again, if your phone goes off, if your computer shut down, there are a lot of things that I have to do.
And the answer that the young people know is the answer that they want you to be given, because the young people know how to go through the stuff. But from my generation, we were building computers. You know, my son, I got him a T-shirt. It said honorary boomer, because he thinks I'm a boomer, but he doesn't have a clue about, you know, what's the basis of this? How does it actually work? What is actually, you know, he doesn't know. He's better at some of the things than I am, you know, of just getting through it. But actually understanding the danger and of this kind of device, we've been anesthetized to it. You know, we don't, and we say, but I don't care if people are watching me. I'm not doing anything wrong. But you imagine sitting at home in your living room with a man looking in the window, you know, and you think, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. But there is a man in the window. And there's a man here in the window, but we just don't see it, you know. And, you know, this will lead to, you know, we're getting away from God. We're autonomous from God. If you get enough money scraped together, you don't have to die, you know. But we've heard this before. Ted Williams. I mean, he died, and he had his head cut off and put in frozen so he could be awakened later. They had a power cut. So Ted thawed out, and that plan didn't work. But, you know, this isn't the first time that we've been able to say, well, you know, we can do this. We can beat death. We can beat death. And we can't, really. But it's one more lie. Satan's putting out one more very, very, very believable lie. Please. Yeah. Well, I mean, if we took you as you're thinking right now and put your thoughts into a computer, would you be inclined to worship?
Yeah, because there's no faith-based.
Yeah, so, I mean, but so I mean, we don't even know what consciousness is. And there are all kinds of people out there, and there are books on it. We have no clue. We have no clue what consciousness is. Nobody does. And until we get a handle on that, you know, then none of this will actually happen. None of it will really go anyway. But you can see the mechanism by which the man of lawlessness comes. You can see the mechanism by which miracles are manifest. You can see the mechanism by which someone is raised from the dead, seemingly, yeah, and not to newness of life, but a sort of Lazarus type of raised from the dead, you know, reanimated, but, you know, past what we would normally expect. So you, that's why I put it, I mean, you can just see the mechanisms here, Satan's mechanisms, but it's the book next to you and the book in your hands that make the difference here. That's what you need. And if you start thinking about this and reading from that angle into you, you think, oh, it's been answered. It's been answered. The answers are there already. So, anyway, please. Yeah.
But I remember a Sunday school teacher I had at Baylor, and she said, first day class, unless you have within you he who is above you, you will soon yield to all that is about you.
Yeah, that's a good.
And that's still the key, and that's still the answer.
Yeah.
Hope, that's stronger than all this junk. And
it is.
I'm really happy to be where I am, and I wish.
Yeah. They're stuck in. Yeah, they're stuck in the convenience area, and it's just like if you don't already know what your ethics are, by the time you figure out what they are, you've passed them. And you think, yeah, well, what do I do now? You know, by the time I figure that I shouldn't be bulking up on that Big Mac, I'm halfway through it. So I think, well, I paid for it, and I'll just finish it off, right? So, you know, it's in places like this that we need to, regardless of our age, we need to say, this is my playing field. This is what I do for the people I coach. They're all over the place. And I actually draw a playing field on little whiteboards in their offices, and they leave them there. I say, what is this line here? That's, you know, I don't ever do this. And what's this line here, and this line here, and this line here? And all of a sudden they have, this is the playing field I play on, and they're much more effective. We need to do that as Christians. What is the line you won't cross? What is the line that if you cross it, you're not playing the game anymore? And many of us don't know that. And so we compromise on things that we don't know we're actually going to be needing down the road. I have too. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. So, but this kind of stuff is sneaking up on us. But we already have the answer. We already have the anchor. There's a new hurricane coming through, and it's just already being solved. But it doesn't feel that way. Yeah. And you will have consequences. Paul talks about it so much. You are not promised a rose garden. You are promised suffering. Please.
That's what I was going to say. So does this bring on like a whole new wave of martyrdom? Because eventually if you can't live in the world because everything is taken from you and you say, I will not use that or do that. It may not be somebody coming to your door and taking your life, but if you can't live here because you can't trade or buy, you die.
Like the old, you know, outcast widow in 1680 in New England, you know, the person who had, you know, was shamed and no one would talk to, and oops, that winter she just starved to death. Dearie me, you know. And that's what you'll be seeing. But it'll be so tempting for you young people to go along a little bit. A little bit. I've got this. I've got the newest, the iPhone 14. It tracks everything I do. It listens to me all the time. All the time. Everything I say, everything I do. And, you know, then the government will be on you. All of these things, you can't take them back. Remember the dumb things that we older people did in high school? What if it was all recorded? For them, it's all recorded. It's all recorded. It's all there. And all the people you would least want to know it are the ones that know it. All the people that the people you don't want making rules about this are the ones making rules about it. Like the Biden appointee, that guy in a dress, you know, he's standing there in an admiral's uniform. I mean, it's just, it's farce beyond farces. Anyway, okay. Any more questions? We'll end with a prayer and we'll get you out of here. Dear, I'm exhausted. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we abound in the grace of Christ. We give thanks and pray that we may avoid buying the lie. We are surrounded by the world, which is the counterfeit of the truth. We are surrounded by the prince of the power of the air, which is the purveyor of the lie. And we are burdened by our own flesh, our old man, who hungers like an addict for all the world and the devil wants to give us. Open our eyes, Father. Let us avoid the empty deceit that seems so promising. Help us to love the truth. Let us build on the hope of our faith and grow in the knowledge of the grace of your perfect Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.